So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. I'm going to stop right there. You may be seated. May the good Lord add His blessings to the reading of the Scripture. I may deal with verse 18 and 19 in just a minute, if the Lord allows, which we probably will. If you'll pray for me, I realize I can't preach tonight. Amen. I ask that you'd help me as we get delivered what God laid upon our heart. Just by introduction, many, you know, there's a lot of people that makes resolutions and a lot of promises that they don't keep. How many has ever made a promise you didn't keep? I've made it physically, and then I have made them spiritually. Amen. I've made promises spiritually that I didn't keep.
Amen.
Well, the Lord teaches us, amen, in His Word, it's better never to vow a vow than to vow that vow and break it.
Amen.
And I'll be honest, there's some vows and things I've promised the Lord before that it's grieved my heart, and I've had to go to God in prayer and say, God, I'm sorry.
Amen.
God, will You forgive me? And I believe we're all in that case if you've lived for the Lord long. But you know, one of Jesus' disciples made a promise that he didn't keep. Sometimes people get saved, and if you're not careful, you go back on God. You get right with the Lord, and you do things, amen, you go back to your ways and your lifestyle. And I'm not, amen, going to get on the eternal security part there. But he said, Peter made a comment, amen, he said in John 13:37 that he'd lay down his life for the Lord. He said, I'll lay down my life for you, Jesus. And that he'd, in other words, he'd give up everything for the Lord. He'd give up everything. I'll lay my life down. I mean, what more can you say when you tell Jesus that you'd lay down your life for Him? That would say, amen, that he's given up everything for the Lord. And as you know, within a few hours or a space of time there, you'll know that he denied him. The Bible says he denied him three times that he was even Jesus, who he was. Because he told him and reminded him, he said, before the cock crows, he said, you'll deny me thrice. I mean, the Bible even says that Peter cursed. I'm talking about somebody that, a disciple of the Lord. Curse, and he denied that he ever knew that Savior and ever knew that Christ. You know, if you look back to chapter 21, verse number 3, you'll get a little bit of insight into Peter's thinking after his denying the Lord or failure. You know, he says in verse number 3, let me just go back there and read that. He said, verse number 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. Well, now, it says, they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Well, I wonder if Peter's, mentality or his spirituality was really where it ought to be in when he said, I go fishing. I mean, you think about this, amen. He said, I go fishing. Simon Peter told the other disciples, they said, more or less, well, we're going to come with you. That's more or less what they're saying. Let me tell you something. Every time somebody says they're going to go somewhere, don't mean you need to go with them. So they went out in the boat and they caught nothing. Well, I believe there's a reason why they didn't catch nothing. I believe Peter probably wasn't in the spirit that he ought to have been in. You know, when Peter says that he's going out to fish, he's not saying that he's going popping out there and just relaxing out on the Lake of Galilee and he's just going to have a good time out there on the lake. Amen. I believe that He's going back to his old lifestyle. He's going back to his old fishing habits as being a fisherman before he came in contact with the Lord. See, that's what his trade was. It was fishing. He was a fisherman. And I believe he got frustrated. Anybody in here ever gets frustrated? I mean, he had already denied the Lord. He had already made failures in his life. And all of a sudden he said, I'm going fishing. I'm going back. Hey, fellas, here's where I'm going. Then the disciples looked at him and said, well, we'll just go. They didn't catch nothing the whole night. I believe, amen, that Peter, having failed and denied the Lord, was on the brink of just throwing up his hands. How many of you ever just felt like throwing up your hands? God knows who He's speaking to tonight, amen, but sometimes you do things, you pray, and you seek the Lord, you live for the Lord, you do what you think's right, you do what you know's right, and amen, and you trust the Lord with all your heart, and it seems like there's troubles come, problems come, seems like the devil, amen, is a roaring lion, tries to come at you, and you just, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself like Peter was, and I believe that you'll just say, hey, I'm just gonna go fishing. I believe he got fed up. I believe he just, hey, the spirituality of his, of him wasn't there. I mean, how many's agreeing with me tonight? I mean, he just really wasn't where he ought to be. He was out of sorts, amen. And I believe he was on the brink of throwing his hands up. Chucking his Christian faith. I believe he would just say, hey, sometimes you just say, well, devil tell you, well, how long you gonna go? How long can you take this? In Revelation chapter 2 verse 4, Jesus, amen, said that he had something against the church of Ephesus. He said he had somewhat against them, had something against them. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Let me tell you something. You leave that first love. But then a few hours, amen, of Peter, amen, said, I'm going fishing. He denies the Lord. He goes fishing. He does this thing, amen. Despite his failures, he's forgiven. And he's reminded of what it really means to be a Christian. Listen, as we see these verses, it tells us what real love, amen, Jesus, I'm talking about what real love, loving the Lord really means and what it stands for. I mean, here's what I'm going to preach on now. Do you really love Jesus? I'm talking about it's easy to get up here and say, I love Jesus. It's easy to get up here and say, I love the Lord. It's easy to go out there sometimes and say, I love Jesus. But do we really love the Lord? I believe, amen, I believe we can see in these verses, amen, that tell us what real love for the Lord involves. Number one, I believe there's supreme love. Let's look at verse 15 through 17 again. He goes through and asks him three times, you love me? First time he said, if you do, he said, Lord, you know I love you. More or less, he said, feed my lambs. Second time, he said, do you love me? Lord, you know I love feeding my sheep. Then he sort of questioned on the third, amen, do you love me, Simon? And he goes and he says, feed my sheep, amen. Now what are you saying, preacher? I believe Jesus' first question to Peter was, do you truly love thou me more than these? In verse number 15, he said, lovest thou me more than these? Now, some people probably wonder what these are. Now I'm not here to expound on what these were. But they could have been many things. He could have been asking Peter if he really loved Jesus more than the other disciples did. As he claimed that before he died. I mean, we can't really know, but is Jesus asking Peter if he loved him more than he loved the life, that Peter wanted to go back to? I mean, he said, I'm going fishing. Is he asking Peter, do you love him more than the life you used to have? Or is he asking, do you love me more than these fishing boats? Do you love me more than these fishing nets? Do you love me more than all of these things? Let me tell you something, friend. You're ever going to get to heaven, you're going to have to sell out. Amen to the Lord. I mean, listen, we got so many people that saying I'm Christian, they still, hey, they got a foot in the world, they got a foot in the church. There ain't really no straddling the fence, amen. You either in or you're out, amen. You either saved or you're lost. You're either hot or you're cold. Amen. Or you're lukewarm. And the Bible says if you're lukewarm, he said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Or, in other words, do you love me more than these? I don't know. I mean, you can expound on different things and what he meant by these. Do you love me more than these disciples say they love me? I mean, it doesn't merely matter, amen, because the underlying question is this, and it's clear Jesus is wanting to know if Peter loves him supremely. Jesus wanted Peter to know, he wanted to know if Peter loved him more. And by the way, Jesus already knew how much Peter loved him. But I believe he wanted Peter, if he loved him more supreme, more than anything or anyone else in the world. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you love Jesus more than anything or anyone else in the world? Until you love Jesus more than anyone, until you love Jesus more than your wife, until you love Jesus more than your husband, until you love Jesus more than your family, until you love Jesus more than anything, you're not see God. Amen. I love the Lord. You said, don't you love your wife? I love my wife. She has her place. But guess who's first in my life? God's first in my life. My wife ain't first. You need to back me up here. Amen. I shouldn't be first in her life. Preacher, you mean you're denouncing family? No. God's first. Amen. Then these others come along. All God's people saying. I mean, Jesus is wanting to know how much Peter really loved him. Did he love him more supremely than anything or anyone in his life? I wonder what it is that you value most in your life. What is it that I value most in my life? I mean, what is that thing? I mean, there's things and there's hobbies and there's things in life that I love. I love my wife. Amen. And I love different things. Amen. As far as this earthly things get, but you know what? My main love, my supreme love ought to be God Almighty. Amen. What do I value most? And oh, by the way, what you value most, amen, it'll show up on you. Sure it will. Amen. I wonder what it is that you value most. I mean, a simple way of working that out is to think about what you would be most horrified to lose. How do I work that out, preacher? What is it in my life that, that I value most in my life, amen? Then to work that out is to ask yourself, what would you be so horrified? What would be so horrifying to you to lose? You know, that's different answers to different people. I mean, listen to me. Some of it may be in the inconvenience of maybe losing your job or losing money or losing a close friend or a close family member. Somebody say amen. Rather, you can keep it going. I mean, what do you love more than God Almighty? Do you value something more in your physical walk than you do God? There's some people, amen, money's their problem. Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. You got people that ain't going to enter heaven because they value that money. Amen. More than they do God. I mean, I know that's simple tonight, but let me tell you something. You got money worshipers. And it's not just money worshipers, but you got people, amen, that loves a golf ball. Amen. More than that, I mean, that's all they're on their mind. There's nothing wrong, amen, with, I don't know who the PGA champion is now, but I knew Tiger Woods used to be. Somebody say amen. Now, I'm not saying if he's saved, I ain't saying if he ain't saved. That's between him and the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. I often wonder about these football players and these golf. Can I get an amen right there? Do they value, amen, these things more than they do God? There's some people, amen, value that boat. Could he have been asking Peter, you love them boats more than you love me. You love them nets more than you love me. He's the one that said, I'm going fishing. How many got up this morning, amen, on Sunday morning and said, I'm going fishing? And they hooked up to their boat and they went to the lake. And they didn't give God a second thought. And even if the Holy Ghost did come and convict their heart of it, they still, amen, didn't give it a second thought. Or they'd have pulled back in the dock, loaded that boat up and come to the house of the Lord. That means with the preacher. What is it in our life that we value most? I tell you what, I don't want nothing to stand between me and God. I like an old car. I like to do them car things. Amen. But you know what? They're going to burn up one day. Amen. And listen, I don't care. Now listen, we got to work. We got to have a job. We got to make a living. By the way, amen, you don't get me started on that. If you don't earn the living by the sweat of your brow, the Bible teaches you you're worse than an infidel. All God's people said. Well, listen, Jesus wants to be the very top of the scale in our lives. If He ain't number one, if He ain't the very top in our lives, amen, then guess what? Hey, He's a jealous God. God is a jealous God. He's got to have first priority in every aspect of our life. Somebody say amen right there. I believe you ought to have first priority in every aspect. When it comes, amen, to our financial, everything, God ought to be first.
Amen.
God ought to be first. You say, preacher, but I fail. We all fail. That's where we got to work out our salvation in the Lord with fear and trembling. All God's people say it. Sure, sure. So I want to ask you this tonight, that supreme love. In other words, Peter, do you love me supremely? Do you love me? Are you by, what is it that you value and value? Hey, Peter, do you love me more than anything or anyone? You love Jessica? You love Rex? All God's people say it. But I'm asking you tonight, what is it in our life, amen, that's keeping us loving? Do you really love the Lord? Secondly, real love for Jesus is suffering love. It's not just supreme love. I'm talking about supremely. Nothing else matters in your life than God Almighty. That's simple. Then there's suffering love. In verse number 18, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, he's talking to Peter, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Now I'm going to stop right there. You said, preacher, what do you mean suffering love? Jesus compares Peter's life when he was young, before he started to follow the Lord, to what life will be like when he's older as a result of following Jesus. On one hand, when he was younger, amen, Peter was free to dress how he wanted to dress, amen, go where he wanted to go, but because of his future faithfulness, amen, in serving the Lord and faithfulness to Jesus, he'll find himself being dressed and led to where he does not want to go. And that's a place, amen, to where he would have to stretch out his hands telling, Jesus is telling Peter that, hey, he will one day face death by crucifixion. And as tradition has it, Peter died, amen, when he was crucified. That's what tradition says. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Listen, sometimes, amen, serving the Lord, we have to suffer. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, I've not read it, amen, I've just heard, amen, like that's probably recorded in it, amen, as far as how Peter, amen, was crucified, and a lot of these disciples, some were dipped in boiling oil, amen, and salt death. But what are you saying, preacher? They're suffering. Hey, it comes along, amen, in loving the Lord. All God's people saying. I mean, listen, 1 Corinthians 2:9, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. So, real Christian love is supreme love. It's suffering love. Hey, listen, are we willing to suffer for the Lord? He was telling Peter, hey, you're getting ready to die. Hey, he compared the younger life to the older life. You're getting ready to die. You're getting ready to face death. Let me tell you something. Everybody in here, you ain't going to live forever. It don't work that way. You was born to die. You saw the preacher, that little baby. I was thinking Carly, Joe back there. That little girl, amen, she was born and yes, she's living. Yes, and guess what? She's growing. But even in that growth process, she's dying. I don't mean that. I'm talking spiritually, physically too. Not spiritually, but the physical area. Preacher, that sounds like a contradiction. No, she's growing, but she's always also dying. Why? When's her death? Preacher, I'm not God. Amen. I don't know when Jessica's going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die. The next casket rolled up this aisle might be the preacher. You said, preacher, do you like that? Do you want that? No, I hope and pray to God that He'll let me go in the rapture. Amen. This flesh don't want to leave my family. This flesh don't want to leave. Can I get an amen, brother? But God, you so. By the way, I don't need dying grace right now. I ain't dying. Amen. But everybody in here, amen. There's going to be some suffering time in the Lord. Let me tell you something. It's good, amen. When it's all flag waving and bugle blowing, and I mean everything's good and everything. But you know what? When you have to suffer and stand for God. He wants that supreme love. How much do you love the Lord? Peter, do you love me? How much do you love me? How supreme is that love? More than anybody? More than anything? Then I believe he is telling Peter, Peter, you're gonna die. You're young, but you're in your old age, you're gonna die. Nobody likes to think about death. I don't like to think about death. But that is the appointed unto men. As it is appointed unto men, Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this what? The judgment. I thought that's what God was going to let me preach just on that verse. You know, you've heard me preach and use it many, many times. But let me tell you something, friend. Amen. How much do we love the Lord enough to suffer? I don't know what I have to suffer for the Lord before He comes back. Amen. Some of you are suffering, amen, health problems. Amen. But you know what? You got Jesus in your heart. You got peace in your mind. And amen, we're suffering. But I'm talking about giving your life for the Lord. How is it going to come down if they come through the back door back there? You say, well, we got too many, amen, that's packing and all this kind of stuff. Well, listen, amen, could it be that they come through that door and it's you denounce Christ? And they bring a guillotine in this place and they set it up here on the altar, amen, and they start chopping your heads off. What if they brought a big pot of boiling oil in here and they started dipping you in oil? I mean, listen, how close do we really love the Lord? Let me tell you something, friend. We got to make sure we're living close to God. We're in a day. Listen, friend, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what next week and the next week. You don't know what this election's going to evolve in. You don't know what this world situation is going to evolve to, amen, in the next... Hey, you just don't know. We better make sure we're living close to God.
Amen.
Do you really love the Lord? Do I really love God? I'm talking about more than anything in my life. Am I willing, amen, to have that suffering love for the Lord? Not only that, amen, but thirdly, amen, they're submitting love. Look at verse number 19. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. Oh, by the way, by what death he should glorify God, I want my death to be the word it glorifies God. How many's heart? Everybody's heart's desire ought to be that. There's been people, amen, there's death has not glorified God. And I believe if there wasn't so much medication, amen, going around and people being medicated up, you'd see more people going to hell.
Amen.
I mean, I've heard some terrible, terrible stories, amen, of people, amen, that hell is real, screaming hell is real, that screaming hell is hot. Amen. And I can only imagine. I've never experienced hearing anybody say that. But I'm telling you this, that submitting love, amen. I didn't finish that. It said glorifying God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. He just said, hey, Simon, do you love me? He just told him that he's getting ready to face death, and he said, follow me. There's two very simple words there, follow me. But they're profound. They're profound. They have profound consequences. They mean that people who love Jesus are to walk in His footsteps and to do the same as He would. In other words, submit to Him. Hey, you know what our problem is? There ain't many people submitting. Hey, there are not many people, amen, has that submitting love. God told you to do something this morning. Did you do it? God told you to do something tonight. Are you going to do it? See, if you don't do it, that's not submitting love. Amen. If I love my wife, then you know what I do? I try to love her. And I try to do. I try to make her happy. All God's people say it. When she asks you certain things, your wife asks you to do certain things, why do you do it? You do it, amen, not because she's the boss. Somebody say amen. You do it because you love her. All God's people say it. I love her, and she loves me. That's the reason we do things for one another. Well, then that's the same way it is submitting. In other words, I submit to her. There's times she submits. All God's people say it. To me, submit in love. Amen. Follow me. Amen. Listen, we're to walk as Jesus walked, in His footsteps. How many of us tonight are walking in His footsteps? I'm talking about submitting to Him. A person who won't submit to Christ can't really claim to love Him. If you won't submit to the Lord and do what He says to do, you don't really love Him. I hope we don't have no liars in this church. There's some so-called Christians, they're liars. I hope Preston Jenkins don't lie. I don't think you do. Amen. I hope Preston Jenkins don't lie. I hope Rex Real don't lie. Amen. But hey, but you know what? If you're here and you say, oh, that's just a little. Oh, by the way, beware of half-truths. You may get the wrong half. Amen? And they ain't a little lie and a big lie. And they ain't a black lie and a white lie. Hey, but you've got people that are compulsive liars. And they're calling themselves Christians. Let me tell you something. You lied last week. You ain't right with God. Unless you got right with God and submitted to Him and you made up in your mind, you ain't going to lie no more. We got some compulsive liars. You ever seen somebody you couldn't believe a word they said? I've seen people I can't believe a word a certain person says. Amen. You can't believe it. But they can convince everybody else. They can convince them, amen, that, hey, every word that comes out of their mouth is the truth. You say, well, why is it so different with you? Because I've seen the truth. And the truth ain't in them. Somebody say amen. You say, you're judging. No, I'm a fruit inspector. Amen. You know somebody lies you. And listen, that's one thing. You lie to me, I'll forgive you. But I'll be careful. Amen. Somebody say amen. If I was to get up here and preach one thing and get out and do another thing, I wouldn't be your pastor long. Amen. You know why? If I got up here and done one thing and I told you one thing and you caught me doing the very opposite thing of me preaching you the Word of God, you know what you'd do? You'd get a meeting together, deacons to get together, church to get together, and one day I'll walk in here and they'll say, hey, we voted you out, you leave. You either get right or leave. Amen. You submit, hey, people that won't submit to God don't love the Lord. Amen. If you submit to the Lord, you won't lie. If you won't submit, amen, to paying your tithe. Boy, I didn't know I was hitting all this. God knows what we need. Submitting to the Lord, preacher, you getting on tithing? You need to pay your tenth. That's the Word of God. You rob God when you don't give God the tenth. He could have said 90%. And you kept 10%. God's good to you. The devil ever pop up on your shoulder when you had a real good pay week or a real good pay month. And it was a lot more money than you expected. Amen. And then all of a sudden the devil said, man, you made some good money, but you're going to have to give that much more? Devil ever talk to anybody like that besides me? You're going to have to get how much more? You know what he'll do? Hey, don't entertain him.
That's right. Amen.
Don't entertain. You can't outgive God. Right. Let me tell you something. Amen. If you'll give it with a joyful heart. Now, sometimes, amen, the old devil, he'll make it grievous if you're not careful. Amen. But you ought to be able to get to a place in your Christian life that you're giving with joy in your heart. Amen. Now, I'm not saying the devil won't come and pop up on your shoulder and say, boy, it may be nice if you could keep that. He's going to try to tempt you to keep it. But if you'll prove the Lord, he said, prove me now herewith, thou not open up the windows of heaven. People don't pay their tithes. They just don't know what they're missing. And if people don't pay their tenth to the Lord, and plus give an offering, you don't love the Lord. Boy, am I right?
Amen.
Because if you're submitting yourself to God, submitting is love, and that's obeying the Word of God. I'm talking about not keeping, hey, how much do you give if you make $100? Somebody tell me. $10. $10 out of every $100. That shouldn't be too hard to do. So one lady asked me one time, you've heard me say it many times, she said, preacher, by the time I pay my light bill, my house payment, buy groceries, and all these things, she said, I ain't got enough for my tithes. What do I do? I said, first of all, you take your tithes out first. She said, well, then I won't have enough to buy. She probably thought, I ain't got enough to do everything. Listen, you just think you don't. I believe God. How many ever believe God's multiplied your money? If you really and honestly in your heart thought God, and you know God's multiplied your money, raise your hand. Don't you look. Hey, everybody keep your hand up. Now I want everybody to look around. Everybody look around. Whoopee. Multiply. You know what? God does that. He said, prove me now herewith. You this boy, I don't know why I'm on tithing. I don't do it much, but God said it, amen. Don't know why. You just don't give your tithes and don't give an offering, amen. Prove God. He said, prove me that I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out of it. And I ain't saying that he's gonna, hey man, give you $1,000 next week. I ain't saying he's gonna give you an extra $100 next week. Matter of fact, next week might be less money. That you don't know what 4 weeks hold. Hallelujah. You don't know what 6 months holds.
Amen.
Amen. There's stuff that's coming in the mail. I told you our blessing God gave us, amen, before Christmas last year. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't get, how much? I don't need to tell my business, but you don't get $4,500 check in the mail.
Amen.
If you do, you bless. Hallelujah. Amen. And God knows when to send that. All God's people said? Boy, while I'm on this. People won't submit. Don't tell me you submit. Don't tell me you love the Lord and you don't submit to His Word. Don't tell me how much you love the Lord, amen, and you can't get back to the house of God Wednesday night. Now, I know what some of you say. Wednesday night ain't in the Bible. Well, Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not yourselves assembling together as the manner of some is. I can't remember exactly the word. Amen. But he goes on and tells us how we need to exhort one another. All God's people saying, forsake not. Amen. How many loves come to church?
Amen.
Boy, you know what? There's churches tonight that don't have. We're blessed to have this many in church on Sunday night.
Amen.
And you know why I think we're blessed? You love the Lord. And you like preaching. I like to go somewhere where I hear preaching.
Amen.
You know why I like to go somewhere when that preacher stands up and if it hits me, I'm saying glory. It might be a hurting, but I'm still saying glory. I might have to be a repentant, but I'm still saying glory. You know why? You said, preacher, do you like conviction? I like conviction, but I don't like it at the time I'm convicted.
Amen.
Now, don't look at me. I mean, don't take me wrong. You love conviction. But it's hard to take when God says it's you, son. It's hard to take when He says it's you, boy. But I love it, amen. And why is it? Because I have the love of Jesus in my heart. And God spoke to somebody a few minutes ago.
Amen.
God spoke to somebody in this service. Don't tell me, amen, that you love God. amen, really love the Lord supremely. Really love Him. I'm talking about to the point that you suffer for Him and don't and submit to Him. Amen. If you don't go, if you don't live by what thus saith the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, I'm not in here telling you that everybody in here is perfect. I know better than that because I'm not perfect. Chief Turner makes mistakes. He sins and comes short of the glory of God. You know why? Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Care how saved you are and how long you've been saved. You see Him. Now you better not practice it.
Amen.
Somebody practices and keeps sinning willfully and knowing they're sinning. And they keep on sinning and never feels bad about it, never feel guilty of it, and they wallow in it. They ain't right with God.
Amen.
They need to come up here and get saved. If you're saved, amen, you can't wallow in your sin.
Amen.
And not feel bad about it.
Amen.
If you're saved, you'll submit to God. Somebody might need to be paying their tithes. All God's people's there. Follow me. People who love Jesus are to walk in His footsteps. Amen. Listen, submit to the Lord. Willing to submit to Him in His will. That's the key. Willing to submit to Him and His will. The captain of a ship looked into the dark night and saw faint lights in the distance. Don't you listen to this. Immediately he told his signalman to send a message. He said, alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly a return message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was angered. His command had been ignored, so he sent a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. Soon another message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Immediately the captain sent a third message, knowing the fear it would evoke. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. Then the reply came, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am the lighthouse. Are there areas of our life that you know are in rebellion against the Word of God? Are there areas in our life that we know, amen, that there's a rebellion to God and having revival? And submitting it all to the Lord and suffering for the Lord and supremely loving God. I want us to stand at our feet. Angel, would you come to the piano? I'm talking about real love for Jesus is supreme love. Loving Him above anything or anything else, someone else. Real love for Jesus is suffering love, being prepared to accept the consequences of living faithfully. We got to be willing to accept what God, all God's people saying. Submitting love is putting your whole life under His authority. Do you love me? Jesus is asking you, do you love Him? Do you love me? As they sing.
What He's done for me. Oh, without Him I don't know where I'd be. A warmth comes over my soul and the tears begin to flow just thinking what He just to free me from the bonds of sin so that I could live again. From my mind I cannot erase the cruelty that my Savior faced just thinking what He's done. plan has not ended yet. He said he'd come again, and he's gone to prepare a place so that I can live with him. As I read of his beauty rare, my trials here cannot compare. Just thinking what he's done for me. Just thinking what he's done for me. Oh, without him.